High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is Wednesday, which means we get to talk to Dr. Carl. So I told you we've got a great, great question, and I'm very, very excited to ask him about this because I didn't realize that there's more to it than just making a decision. So I want to ask you before I ask Dr. Carl the question, or at the same time, really, at a restaurant that you go to regularly, should you, A, Mukundi, stick to your favorite dishes that you know and you love, or B, try dishes in the hope of great and unexpected culinary delight? A or B, what would you do, Mukund? What do you do?
B.
B, you try something new?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. Actually, I don't. I want my wife to. But I don't know. So I want to taste it, but I don't want to give up on the...
I'm a bit too curious. That's the
thing. Yeah, I've heard of that about you. Right, it is. Dr. Carl, good morning. I hope you are well. So talk to us. When you go to a restaurant, let's talk about this problem.
It's tricky. So Richard Feynman, who was a certified mega genius,
mm-hmm.
Worked on many different problems in his life, including how to make the atom bomb, quantum mechanics for a few other little minor things. And also, he did fail to solve the problem of why spaghetti,
mm-hmm.
when you bend it,
right,
breaks in three, not two.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, so he was having dinner with a mate and they were trying to stuff the spaghetti into the pot, but the pot was too small and the spaghetti was all long. So they started trying to break the spaghetti into smaller pieces.
Right.
And to their surprise, when they grabbed one end of the spaghetti and the other, one in each hand, and bent it, instead of bending in the middle, it broke into three pieces. And they tried to solve it and he couldn't solve it. And in fact, we've seen the same thing happen in various Olympic Games. When you have the pole vaulter thundering towards the bar at full speed, and they dig in the end of the pole, which is very flexible, and they dig it into the ground and they start to go rising in the air, and every now and then, very uncommonly, I'm glad to say, it breaks into not one but not two but three pieces. And so he was having a restaurant with one of his mates. By the way, he won a Nobel Prize and a few other things. And he said, should we try something new or should we go for the same old favorite?
Mm.
And they said, well, this is just a straight decision theory problem, a knowing when to stop problem. And there are lots of those in our lives, like when you're parking a car, do you pick the very first spot you see, even if it's a kilometer away from where you want to go, or do you keep on going, hoping that another spot will arise? Or there's a secretary problem, which has a different version, which is that do you hire the very first secretary you see or the very last one who fulfills all the requirements? And then in this case, given that there are a bunch of dishes that you can be eating at the restaurant, how many new dishes, D, should you try before switching to ordering just the best of them for the remaining meals? And the number of dishes that you should try, D, is equal to the square root of 2 multiplied by the number of meals plus 1, and then you get the square root of that number, then you subtract 1, and that gives you how far through you should try. So in the early days, you should definitely try new things. And as you get closer towards the end of your working your way through the menu, at some stage you should just simply stop and say, that's it, I'm not going to get any more. And so giving it to you again, D, which is the new dishes that you try before switching, is equal to the square root of 2 multiplied by M plus 1, where M is the number of all of the meals that you're going to run through plus 1. You get the square root of 2 outside of n plus 1, and then you subtract 1 from that. And that's about roughly maybe two-thirds of the way through, depending
right.
On how you go.
Okay, so all you've got to do is take a calculator and a computer that can do this type of equation, and then you can figure it out.
In the old days, people could do these things in their head, multiplications and square roots, but square roots are harder nowadays. Anyway, so people are surprised when they think that physicists worry about such problems. So I had a physics problem that I couldn't solve, which I gave to the people in morning tea this morning, and they couldn't solve it. So there was a full moon recently,
right?
And my wife and I were walking down on a beach, and so there's a full moon just above the ocean, and then there's water, and then there's some sand, and there's some us.
Okay.
Sometimes the reflection of the full moon is just a straight line, it's a path of constant width leading to the moon and the diameter of the moon. And sometimes it's an apex, a pyramid pointing at the moon, and then widening out as it comes towards us. But on this occasion, it was the other way around. On this occasion, there was a reflection in the water with the tip of the pyramid pointing at us and the base being really wide. And so some of the clever people in physics tried to solve it. And they said, it kind of implies that instead of the waves coming onto the coast, they're running parallel to the coast. Have you got a photograph to prove it? And I said, no. And they said, oh, well, okay. So I've now got to keep on going down. And so the physicists can solve those sort of problems, as well as what's the best order to vaccinate people in a society, what's inside an atom, and how do you get a rocket into space and bring it back with everybody successful alive. So physicists are good at that sort of stuff.
Okay. They are indeed. All right, let's talk. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about the lymphatic system. What is still largely unknown?
Yeah, so your heart pumps out roughly 5 litres of blood every minute. And roughly, but not quite, 5 litres of blood comes back to your heart. And about 10 mils is missing each minute. And that's the lymphatic fluid.
Wow.
So you've got this circulation of the arteries, which we've known about for a few thousand years. And you start off with a big fat artery coming out of the heart, like the diameter of your thumb, and it's the aorta, then it switches down to big fat arteries and smaller arteries, and then tiny little arterioles, and then it goes into the capillary bed. We'll come back to that in a minute. And that's the end organ, a muscle, a spleen, a kidney, whatever. And then they combine out of the capillary bed, and they go the other way. They go tiny venules and veins and big veins and big boomers and back into your heart. But about 10 mils of liquid is missing. And when the blood passes through the capillaries, the blood has to go through pipes that are smaller than the red blood cells. The red blood cells are 7 millionths of a meter in diameter, about 1/7 the thickness of a human hair. But the pipes are only 5. So the red blood cells have to squish and change shape. And they're normally pulled out of circulation, just as an aside. They're pulled out of circulation when they're about 128 days old and recycled in the spleen. And then, so they don't leave the blood vessel, the capillary bed, but the salt water does. And most of it comes back. And about 10 mils per minute does not come back. And then it goes through an incredibly thin and delicate bunch of vessels called the lymphatic vessels. And they're really thin and delicate. They're like threads. And occasionally they run into lymph nodes. You've got a few hundred of those across your body where infections can attack your body from the outside, like behind your knees and in your groin or in your elbows and your armpits or around your mouth. And so we've only begun recently to understand that by fooling around with the lymphatics, in some cases we can improve health and actually in some cases improve the therapies for cancers.
Incredible.
But for most of our time we haven't understood the lymphatics because they're just so hard to see. So this is a whole new area of research that's opening up, and the lymphatics kind of belong to the immunology doctors who are really clever doctors, of course, in medicine, because immunology is so complicated.
Absolutely fascinating. Dr. Carl, thank you. As always, we chat to Dr. Carl for all things science every Wednesday at this time.